Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. The surprising health boost of feeling happy with someone else. A new study finds that sharing positive feelings with your partner provides health benefits beyond your individual happiness alone. By Jill Suddy, November 19, 2025. Science has found that a happier life is a healthier life. When people experience more positive emotion, they tend to enjoy better cardiovascular, endocrine, and immune function, and even a longer life. But a new study suggests that experiencing positive feelings with others may even be more powerful for our health. In this research, this kind of positive emotional resonance or shared positivity within couples had benefits beyond what their personal happiness could provide. Sharing in positive emotions with your relationship partner is really meaningful, says the lead author of the study, Tomiko Yoneda, of the University of California, Davis. Even though small moments of joy or social connection can have a supportive effect on your physiological and basically on your physiology and basically support better health as we age. How sharing positivity affects us. In this study, 321 couples in Germany and Canada, which is 642 people in total, all 56 to 89 years old, reported on how satisfied they were with their relationship before monitoring their emotions for a week. 5 to 7 times per day, participants were prompted to report separately but at the same time as their partners, how happy, relaxed, and interested they were feeling in that moment, and if they were with their partner or not. Couples who were together and both experiencing stronger than average positive feelings were considered to be experiencing emotional resonance, which occurred about 38% of the time couples were in each other's presence. At each report time, participants also took a sample of their saliva and froze it, so researchers could later test the samples for cortisol, a hormone released during stress. And they reported whether they'd recently taken medications, consumed food, alcohol, or caffeine, or smoked, taken a cold shower, brushed their teeth, or engaged in physical activity, all of which can impact cortisol levels. This resulted in a rich data set, including 23,931 separate measurements of feelings and cortisol levels, which Yoneda and her team then analyzed. They found that whenever couples experienced emotional resonance, their cortisol level was lower than their own personal norm for that time of day, and lower than when they experienced positive emotion alone. This was true regardless of their age, gender, average level of happiness, and overall relationship satisfaction. The effect of co-experienced positive emotions was over and beyond the effect of individually experienced emotions, says UNIDA. Individually experienced positive emotions are linked with lower cortisol, but even more so when those positive emotions are shared with their relationship partner. When looking at the three emotions individually, UNIDA and her team found that couples co-experienced happiness and relaxation more than shared interest, and that sharing interest alone was not tied to lower cortisol. UNIDA is not sure why that would be, but it's possible that interest is more arousing or activating than the other two emotions, she says, which might cancel out its relaxing effects. She also looked at how the way couples felt and reacted at one moment affected what happened afterward. She found that lower cortisol reactions tended to last later in the day, despite people not being together. Also, shared positivity at one time led to lower cortisol levels later, but the reverse was not true. This means that sharing positivity could help drive a healthier cortisol response overall, says UNIDA. Chronically elevated cortisol is associated with all kinds of negative health outcomes. So, if there's something helping to diminish cortisol, that can also be helpful for our health, she says. One surprising finding in the study was that this effect on cortisol still occurred for people who were less satisfied with their relationship. UNIDA was a bit surprised by the finding, but also pleased, as it may mean that shared positivity helps even stressed couples. I would have expected this effect to be stronger in couples reporting higher relationship satisfaction, she said. But we saw these effects across the board, which means those calming, health-related effects of shared positive emotions aren't just limited to the happiest couples. Increasing shared positivity might be a good goal for all of us. This is not the first study to find that positive resonance is good for our well-being. For example, one prior study found that couples who demonstrated positivity resonance through their words, nonverbal gestures, and more while discussing the ups and downs in their relationship tended to live significantly longer than those who had fewer shared positivity moments. But UNIDA's work contributes to this research by showing how positivity resonance might play out in real life rather than in a lab. It also may explain why having warmer relationships over time has been found to contribute to longevity. This could be one mechanism. Sharing in positive emotions with someone close to you is decreasing your physiological response to stress, she says. There might be some coping mechanisms there, some co-regulation occurring that's contributing to healthier aging. Though UNIDA and her team studied only cohabitating couples for practical reasons, the couples would naturally have frequent contact and be able to give saliva samples easily. She hopes to study how shared positivity between any two people could provide health benefits. It'd be great to see how this effect happens in friendships or work colleagues or family members or even strangers, says UNIDA. This is speculative, but these effects might generalize across other relationships and social connections. If her findings hold in those circumstances, it could have broader implications, suggesting that we look for opportunities to share positive emotions in all of our relationships. Meanwhile, it probably makes sense to at least try to share more positivity with anyone we love, for their sake and for ours. Yonita says, leaning into all those shared moments of connection, of positive emotions and happiness, can have small but meaningful effects, and those effects probably do accumulate over time. About the author. Jill Suddy, Doctor of Psychology, is Greater Good's former book review editor and now serves as a staff writer and contributing editor for the magazine. She received her Doctorate of Psychology from the University of San Francisco in 1998 and was a psychologist in private practice before coming to Greater Good. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. Young children are capable of extreme bravery. Here's why. Researchers have examined the personality traits, the brain circuits, and the learnings that lead to children's heroic acts of courage. By Kirsten Antonich, November 14, 2025. Developmental research often tells us how egocentric children are. Yet all too often we hear of children who are forced to demonstrate great courage and care in a crisis. The ongoing inquiry into the 2024 mass stabbing of young girls in Southport, England, has produced accounts of extreme bravery among the children subjected to the attack. Indeed, the report of a child standing in front of her sister to protect her from knife blows shows a level of courage many adults might not have possessed in the same circumstances. Details also emerged of young children holding the door open to allow other children to escape from their attacker first, and of children helping others not draw attention to themselves by running or screaming. Similar accounts often emerge from school shootings in the U.S. Take, for example, the report of a teenager confronting a gunman who attacked pupils at a high school in Colorado in September 2025. How could such young people conduct themselves with so much composure and selflessness? Psychological research finds that children develop cognitive, personal, and emotional skills needed earlier than people might realize. Although much of our understanding of human courage comes from the adult field, developmental psychology professor Peter Muras's 2009 study examined the link between fear and courage in children aged 8 to 13. His interviews and studies with his young participants found that there may be a link between increased courage and the personality traits of extroversion, openness, and intellect. He also found 94% of the children in his study had already carried out at least one courageous action in their lives, such as dealing with an animal they were afraid of or defending a friend from bullies. And a 2021 study found that extroversion in teenagers seemed to protect them from developing anxiety. It could be that many of the young children who have acted bravely in a crisis had higher scores of this protective trait. Experimental psychologist Joanna Vera and her colleagues in their 2020 study explored how humans react when faced with a threat in the form of an electric shock and the option to help another person avoid the shock. They found that as the likelihood of the threat increased, humans were more likely to go to the aid of another, even at risk of a shock to themselves. The study suggests that defensive states of mind also activate cognitive processes which promote caregiving. Psychologists Tony Buchanan and Stephanie Preston explored how stress can promote altruism in their 2014 analysis. They emphasized that the neural circuits that support caretaking under stress overlap within brain circuits associated with reward and motivation. These two areas act together during times of stress, helping shift the person's response away from avoidance of threat toward the protection of others. This caretaking mechanism is seen in many animals, from rats to gorillas. Social psychologist Daniel Batson suggested that there are two types of responses to acute threat. One motivated from personal distress, which is self-focused, and the other based upon sympathetic or empathetic responding linked to altruism. We all have the potential to respond in either way, which makes the courage of these children all the more impressive. Several psychologists have found children as young as 12 months old can recognize and respond with empathy to distress in other humans. A 2011 study found that children as young as 2 years old could respond to others' distress with verbal comfort, advice, and distraction. The researchers also demonstrated that infants responded with heightened distress when presented with the sounds of distress in others. In order to remember instructions and to show high-order skills, such as empathy and the care of others over oneself, the children needed to draw on their developing executive function areas of the brain's limbic system. This system is a group of connected brain structures that helps regulate emotions and behavior. These areas are typically fully developed by young adulthood. In the stories that have emerged, you can hear how the children seem to have internalized advice from adults about how to act in an emergency. Repeated instructions are actually easier to recall under acute stress. These structures are developing throughout childhood. But research has persistently shown that children of preschool age perform executive functioning tasks, such as the ability to perceive and respond to another person's emotional state. Rather than respond from an instinctive fight-or-flight response, the children who stay calm during critical moments contain their fear enough to care for others. A 2010 study investigated the areas of the brain in adults associated with increased bravery. Participants with a fear of snakes had to bring a live snake close to their head. The study found courage was associated with the disassociation of fear and sensory arousal. This means that those people who show courage during stressful situations may disconnect from their feelings of fear and their psychological experiences of fear in the body. The combination of dissociation and instruction retrieval could help explain how they were able to stay calm and come to the aid of others. Indeed, caring for others in times of distress can distract us from our own acute distress. Self-efficacy, or the ability to act during times of threat, can also protect people against the development of post-traumatic symptoms. And a 2019 study found that positive traits such as hope, competence, and optimism may also protect people against the development of post-traumatic stress disorder. In all instances where children are faced with such great adversity, one can only hope the bravery and mastery that they show offer some protection against the immense psychological trauma they endure. About the author, Kirsten Antonich is a senior lecturer in psychology at Birmingham City University. You are listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. And we have time for a Greater Good in Action practice, and this one is entitled Gratitude Art for Kids. Encourage children to express their thanks with arts and crafts. How to do it. Time required. The time required for this practice will vary based on the art form that you choose. How to do it. This practice introduces children to the concept of gratitude using simple steps that encourage them to recognize and celebrate the good in their lives in a fun, creative, and meaningful way. Introduce the concept of gratitude. Explain to your children what gratitude means and why it's important. You can say something like this: gratitude is a warm feeling you get when something nice happens, or when you realize that there are things in your life or people in your life that make you feel happy or loved, and that you would not want to do without or be without. You might feel grateful for your family, friends, or even your pets. You might also feel grateful when someone does something kind for you. For example, if you were struggling with a tricky homework problem and your older sibling or parent took the time to explain it to you, that feeling of happiness and appreciation you have is called gratitude. Expressing gratitude not only helps us to feel happier, but also makes others feel happy when we express our thanks to them directly. Get creative. Encourage your children to take a few minutes either once a day or once a week to make gratitude art. Provide your children with some ideas. For instance, you could suggest the following: make a gratitude box or journal in which you collect cutouts from a magazine, photos that you took, your own drawings or paintings, or other items that represent the people, things, or events that made you feel grateful. Reflect and share. If you have time and resources, organize a gratitude party where your children and their friends can create collages of the things for which they are grateful. Provide materials and space for them to work on their collages, and then have them share their artwork with one another. If a party isn't feasible, simply spend some time with your children reflecting on their entries and discussing what they are grateful for. You could even share some of the things, people, or events that you are grateful for with them. Why you should try it. Practicing gratitude can be difficult, particularly when so many things are constantly competing for our children's attention, like school, social media, and extracurriculars. Cultivating the practice of expressing gratitude from a young age can therefore be particularly beneficial. By developing this habit in our children, we can set them on track to live happier and more fulfilling lives. Children who practice gratitude more also tend to get better grades and have healthier habits. Moreover, by encouraging our children to practice gratitude, we might also be helping them to develop into more altruistic teens. You've been listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona.